Anyone have something new to add here for a regulation change you want to talk to the commission about? Please come forward, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Ellen Zeltman. I live in Virginia Beach. I'll be brief. Let's get way down to a personal level here. I work with Mr. Stephen Ballard. He looks out his backyard and sees these cages and worries about his grandchildren. I'm a new grandmother, 2 weeks. Safety is the big concern here. When the tide is low, you can see the cages out there, and he doesn't want to take his kids out on the boat, and they jump off the side, and they're going to get into a cage. So I've been coming to the meetings. I really appreciate everyone, and I've reported back to him. We discuss it, and always the safety comes up first. So I wanted to give that information to you guys. Thank you.
I got a question for you.
Yep. 1 second, please. Ms. Selma? Mr. Zedra.
Is this 210 feet? Does that kind of, would that help?
That would certainly help. And also the notification process. My gosh, he never heard about that. And all of a sudden he looks out and sees all these poles sticking out in the back. So, yeah, the notification and the.
Are you in support of this staff recommendation?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
For status quo, Mr. Plumlee? Had his hand up first, sorry.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your hard work. I'll try to be brief. Chris Ledford is my client, and we are opposing the regulations. He's Pleasure House Oysters. He's a waterman with an excellent reputation. He's a fireman with the City of Virginia Beach, our first responder for all of us. He's received dozens of letters of support, more than any waterman I've seen in my prior experience as a member of the commission. He's a father of three young children, a husband, someone we should be encouraging to do this work, difficult work that he's doing. And he's promoting one of the oldest industries, one of the oldest products of our Commonwealth, and we need to respect that. We oppose the regulations because they're not needed, and that, you've heard that. We're having a big debate over 7 acres, but you hold the tools. You can order the removal. I've listened to many hearings. I've participated in many hearings. We've resolved the conflicts in those hearings with the tools we already have. Even at the beginning, when the moratorium was brought up, the staff said, this is not unique. This is a statewide issue. Your staff told you that day one when the moratorium was brought up in January. It's on the record. These are all prospective fears that are being discussed, prospective. They're not actual complaints of incidents that you're hearing regarding safety and navigation. They're not going to solve the problem, this regulation. You should hear this on a case-by-case basis. Why? Because these watermen are entitled to access to our waters. It's that simple. You have the public trust doctrine to enforce and uphold. That's what you've been asked to do. They're asking for access. When you create a buffer, you deny access. It's plain and simple. We considered a buffer. We considered this for a long time. But it arbitrarily does away with a lot of acreage for these watermen. And if you apply it statewide, which it should be, if it's going to be used at all, you're wiping out a lot of grounds for watermen to give you a product, to create it for the Commonwealth. That's what you're supposed to do on this board. Now, Delegate Bloxham and Senator Lewis have asked a legal question. I think that should be addressed. I know Mr. Hull has done his best to address it today, and I know Tim Oaksman, is a learned scholar, and the Attorney General would want to weigh in. They may agree perfectly with his analysis. They may disagree with his analysis. I have a few legal questions. Does it unfairly deny equal protection under the law and segregate Virginia Beach watermen? Does it limit the cages in such a way that it substantially impairs the bottom lease rights? I'd say it's yes. And if you look at the Virginia Beach case that was quoted by Mr. Hull, that was hydraulic dredging which was found to cause irreparable damage, and that gave great latitude to the court in making its decision. We're not talking about that. We're talking about cages, and cages have been used for more than 25 years around this country, since 08, 07 in this particular area. It's not the same. We're trying to retroactively change a contract we've entered with these watermen, and we shouldn't do it. Do the regulations unfairly deny equal access to this area when you talk about the watermen and other commercial activities, boat rentals, jet ski rentals, or even recreational uses? You have to ask yourself these questions. These are the legal questions at issue. Do they take a property right? You know, we talked about condemnation last time, and I got it wrong. You can't condemn, if you're a locality, a waterman's bottom. That's a recent law. That means the legislature has newly enacted a law to further protect the property rights held by these folks. So I'd say you need to take a careful look at this. What happens if the landowner changes? Chris raised that. You've got whole notification issues for the watermen that are raised there. The task force came up with two ideas that need to be considered by the legislature. Notification, boater safety. The legislature's in a far better position than this commission to decide statewide how boating should interact with these uses and can pass safety regulations to ensure that boaters are also mindful of what's occurring and not just put the burden on the watermen. So I've raised a lot of issues. I know your time is limited, but obviously we think the watermen do a great job to clean the water, to further this industry, which is so important to our state. They've taken a lot of water that was formerly condemned and made it useful. So that's my presentation. Thank you very much.
Mr. Erskine.
I have a question, Mr. Plumlee. You mentioned kind of preferential treatment for this buffer, this 210 feet that's proposed by staff, and that would remove essentially these cages, oyster cages from that area. What about, where does that put crab pots, fish pots, eel pots?
Slippery slope, you know.
Does it exclude, I mean, we're not talking specifically about that, but as far as in your rights, you were discussing, the rights to those areas and not giving equal
access. Are you segregating
access?
The oystermen and the oyster leasing operation from other, yes, what commercial fishing activity? You are. You're segregating this. Now, the question about whether there's a rational basis for it, well, let's think about this. If you have one of these new hovercraft using, have you seen these things? They're kind of ridiculous. People float above the water 15, 20 feet in the air. Who regulates that from going right up against your backyard?
Not us.
That's right. That's right. And, John, you're not going to have the chance to. That's why the legislature's in a far better position to weigh and balance these uses. You can only regulate watermen. They can regulate us all. And that's how it should be handled. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service on this commission for all those years, Mr. Plumlee. You were easier to deal with on this side of the table, by the way. Anybody else want to testify in favor of a regulation change that has something new to add? I mean, we're willing to listen.
Hi, my name is Millie Jones. Can you hear me? I was also a member of this work group, and I'm not an attorney, but I believe the last Mr. Plumlee, as an attorney, is putting in certain thoughts into the process, certain legal considerations. One, he's saying Virginia Beach is not different. In essence, that's what he's saying. And as I've said before, I'll say it again, Virginia Beach is very, very different. I live on Little Neck Creek. I'm the only one that lives there. I can see outside my window all weekend long 10, 12, 15 boats, and those of us who have been on the work group have seen the photos I brought in showing at one time across that whole body of water, we have sailboats, we have people kayaking, we have people taking their grandchildren tubing, all of this activity at one time. And It's in a narrow area, and most of Lynn Haven River is used by many, many more boaters than there are anywhere else. You know, we travel around a lot by boat. We have family living on the water. We go visit them up at, you know, up the Rappahannock River. We go up there. We go a little by Cumaco River. All these other places do not have as many boaters at any given time. And it would be a terrible thing for us to not make that distinction that the Lynn Haven River is different. That densely populated area doesn't exist anywhere else in Virginia. Thank you.
Sir?
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Billy?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones, can I just ask you a question?
Yes,
when your testimony previously said you could see from your property,
yes,
10 or 15 boats
at a time, right across the whole width of the body of water we're speaking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Were those vessels operating in navigable waters, marked channels?
The ones on the edges and sides were being done with the kayakers and the paddle boaters that stand up, you know, the new thing everyone's doing. And this is right outside the Cavalier Golf and Country Club in that region that I'm speaking about. So I see these people using wide body of water. If you started putting any kind of restrictions, whether there be notifications of this is an oyster area or anything like that, it would really impact the people who are tubing, and they're all avoiding each other. So far, they've been doing very well. We have the jet skis. We have people that aren't just going down the middle of a channel. They're cruising out all over the width of that body of water. And I speak about that one, although the rest of Lynn Haven is very, very heavily populated. But this particular one is exceptionally so. Because also the Cavalier being there, they actually have paddleboard classes. There are people that go out there, the rowing groups in the mornings, you know, the school, whatever teams there are, the rowing teams are out there going across the water. We also have people that come out and do yoga on paddleboards. I've never seen this before, but it's fascinating. You know, they'll have 6-7 paddleboards out there, and everyone's doing yoga on their paddleboard. Well, you can't be doing that floating around if you have to worry about, or the tubing, you can't do that if you have to worry about, well, this area has some, you know, notifications of oysters underneath here and this and that. And again, this water is shallow on the edges and deep in the middle. So you got everything going around.
I think as a follow-up, sir.
Mr. Erskine.
I was referring to the vessels.
Okay.
The vessels that are powered.
Yes.
The jet skis and the sailboats you referred to.
Sailboats, jet skis, motorboats.
The vessels that are required to have the boater safety education course.
Yes.
So they operate in the channel, I presume,
They're operating everywhere within that body of water, across the width. And I think Mr. O'Neill and Mr. Bull, did I not send you some photos? Do we not see them? I emailed them to you, I believe, a while back. It's about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 photos I had taken at different times directly from my house, looking out. And let's face it. I'm really, one of the reasons I'm doing this, to be honest with you, and I need to put a little humanity into it, I have grandchildren. They come, and they want Pawpaw to take them out tubing, okay? It's very hard to go tubing. You have to have that wide area. You've got to be able to swing around, because that's what the little boys want, you know? And I hear this all the time behind my house. I hear children laughing every weekend, or people fishing. Almost every weekend, there's a gentleman coming out with his son, young son, and they drop the hook, and they sit there and they fish. I don't know if they catch anything, but they're using that water. I don't know that they'd be able to drop the hook wherever they wanted to back there if you had to worry about leases, you know, oyster pots everywhere, oyster cages, whatever. So I just mention that to you, you know, personal human level. We want to create memories. We want these grandchildren, our grandchildren, our future generations, to be able to create memories. And boating is one of the big memories that children have when they're growing up. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone want to speak in favor of keeping the status quo? Wow. Three hands. You come forward, sir.
Hello. First, I would just like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you all this morning. My name is Ned Harris, and I'm owner of Long Creek Oyster Company. I am 33 years old, and I grew up in a waterfront home, water skiing, wakeboarding, fishing, participating in everything that all water enthusiasts do. I invested all of my personal savings borrowed hundreds of thousands of dollars from the bank to start my company in the Lynn Haven. Okay? So I ask you just to think very hard and clearly before making any decisions that would affect the livelihood of the Commonwealth. Okay? And that's all I have. So thank you very much.
I got a question.
Mr. Harris.
How would this regulation, the staff recommendation, adversely affect your company?
Which, the 12-inch or the buffer?
The 210-foot buffer and then the permit process, that's what their recommendation is.
How would it affect my company?
Adversely affect your...
It would come off... Considering I have such an abundant amount of land, acreage along First Lane State Park, I can work with the community, and I would like to do that, but I don't see it affecting me in an adverse way. I just like to work with the community and do everything I can to do everything right once again.
All right. You understand this only applies to residential area, not
yes,
commercial.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. I just want to get my input in there and just give my 2 cents in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Somebody else who wants to testify in favor of regulation change, please come forward, sir.
Good morning. I'm Steve McNulty, 2081 Thomas Bishop Lane, Virginia Beach, and I will be brief. I sat on the Virginia Beach Chesapeake Bay Preservation Board for 6 years. I chaired it for 2 years. I like to think I did some good for the city. Worked some with VMRC in that regard as well. Let me be clear from my perspective. This is not about the Cavalier Country Club. This is not about the gentleman with a 60 or 70 or 80-foot boat. Glad those folks have those things. I have to be a member of the Cavalier Country Club, but it's not about that. To me, it's a capacity and a safety issue. It's one that where common sense should be prevailing. I am in favor of staff's recommendation. I think it's a range of reason recommendation. There's absolutely no interest in imposing or minimizing the ability for the oyster industry to generate income. I just think it needs to be responsibly done. I think it needs to be done with some sense of guidance and teammanship and some expectations. I'm a huge fan of oyster preservation and water purity. I practiced that for 6 years on the Bay Board. So from my perspective, this is not about the Cavalier Country Club or the yachts. It's about the guy with the 23-foot sea craft or Grady White that's 15 or 20 years old going out on the water when the crab pots are visible and he doesn't see those. I think that's a real danger. And I think somebody earlier made the point relative to the amount of activity. And it's not just July 4th or Labor Day. It's 5-6 months a year on Broad Bay, not just around the channel, but there's a huge amount of boating activity that takes place there. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to change up the ground rules a little bit. Does anybody have anything that they want to testify about before the commission that hasn't been said? That hasn't been said? Then please come forward.
My name is Wayne Gibson, and I have a lot to say to this commission.
Well, let's keep it short, Mr. Gibson.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to start by saying that I'm not for any more change in the U.S. I think we've had plenty of change here, and that we need to stand by what's right going forward. I wanted to speak to what the attorney Plummer said earlier and what we're creating for Virginia. We are proud stewards of the marine environment, totally dependent on pristine water to produce our crops. We are proud of the ecosystem services our animals provide. They filter the water, reducing turbidity so that eelgrass can survive, while sequestering nutrients that mitigate coastal eutrophication, which is basically algal blooms that kill and lower the dissolved oxygen content of our waterways. Our animals and gear that we use to grow them provide excellent habitat for many juvenile fish and help stabilize sediments and slow shoreline erosion. All right. Now, I'm going to be directly affected if there's any buffer. 150-foot, let me tell you something. 3 years ago, I put my faith in the Commonwealth I went through the process. It was a very lengthy process. I had gentlemen that were actively serving on the Lynn Haven board work group come to me because they had problems. They were voice of the VMRC concerning my lease grounds. So I went to the gentleman. I knocked on his door, and I spoke to him. I told him, sir, I will not cause you any harm. I'm not going to put cages on these properties that are going to impede navigation, cause a safety concern, do anything, but they're not going to interfere with your fishing. Matter of fact, they're going to improve your fishing. I've invested over $10,000, and I'm telling you all that basically the public notice process was adequate, and that I, every single day of my life, I'm involved with public notices. I know how this works. You know, people have many different things that they're balancing in their lives, and many times things go overlooked. They're overlooked. I'm sorry. It happens to me every day. I'm telling you, a prime example is threatened endangered species, people. If you're not aware of what's happening in the U.S., you need to be. All right, there are a lot of things.
Calm it down a little bit.
Absolutely. But I would just ask that you all stay aware of all these things that are happening to change the way we do things in the U.S. All right. Now, on another note, safety. I tried to get up at the board meeting held at the Brock Center and speak to wearing life jackets, all right? Nobody wears a life jacket in the Lynn Haven. Watch the boats pass. You'll see exactly what I'm saying. And what I'm talking about here is with specific reference to getting hurt while in the water. If you do not know what's under your boat, you have no business jumping out of the water, jumping into the water. Without a life preserver on, any number of things could happen to you. There are many acts of God that could occur and that could lead to harm. We're promoting more shellfish in the Lynn Haven. The sanctuaries are working. We're recruiting them. They are very sharp, and you will get hurt if you jump out on top of them. They're all over the bottom. Trust me. All right, we've got jellyfish, crabs, all kinds of other things. All right, now the last thing I'm going to leave you with is that there were no incidents reported. I'm putting forward this measure. I do not think there should be any change. No, I think the commission has on many occasions settled all these disputes, and I think that the watermen that I know are willing to work with people. We're not impacting navigation. And one thing that I can put forward as a solution to the many problems of marking oyster grounds is I do feel as though that the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries had put forward a wonderful publication that everybody that took the boater safety course was required to read, test on, go through, basically be approved to be certified to operate a watercraft in Virginia after July 2016. All right. I say that there needs to be a flag. It needs to be a blue flag. It needs to have a white X on it, and that needs to indicate aquaculture grounds.
Mr. Gibson, that's through the Game Department. This is the Marine Resources Commission. Do you have anything else to add to this?
Well, as I understand it, sir, the Game Department is the one that actively issues the watercraft certification license.
Different state agencies.
Right, but I mean, you all are the ones that actively enforce the law while I'm on the water. If I'm violating
one. So does the Virginia Beach Marine Patrol. Anything else to add to this? Because there's others who want to testify.
No, but I would love to take any of your questions, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. Somebody else want to add anything that we haven't heard yet? Please come forward.
Good afternoon. My name is Beverly Ludford, and I own an oyster farm on the Lynn Haven. I have a lease. It's a little bit more than 2 acres. And my son and myself have been working the oyster farm since 2010. So for the past 6 years, we've been trying to grow oysters on the Lynn Haven in a responsible manner. I want to speak to two things that I don't think they've been said, and I'll be real quick, Commissioner Bull. I want to thank the committee for their work and thank the commission for hearing me. I want to speak for 4 or 5 chefs and restaurant owners that we provide our oysters to that couldn't be here today because they're trying to run a business and preparing food. One particular chef is on his way to New York to do dinner tonight at the James Beard House. So I want to say that We have letters from them, and they've been sent to the commissioner saying that, and he's nodding, saying that we provide quality, local, fresh and safe product to them that they're proud to serve on their tables. And many of the people here in this room benefit from that, and the Commonwealth benefits from it too. The other thing is that we do provide educational and environmental tours out on the Lynnhaven River to teach young children, young people. We have a volunteer program in the summer where we have students who come out and learn how to be good stewards of the Lynnhaven. We have a multifaceted oyster farm. It's not just to grow oysters for sale. It's to grow oysters to clean the river, to grow oysters to provide an experience for Virginia tourists to come. We've had people come from as far as China to tour our farm and as close as right across the street. We open the farm to people to come out and visit and work on the farm without any charge if you want to come out and help, because we have a really hard time. And I want to share with you that even though there's only about 10 farmers who are actively working on the Lynnhaven, I can tell you the reason is because it's a very difficult thing to do. And over the past 6 years, we've had several people who have tried it and failed. And the reason that they fail is because you have to go out there, you know, at terrible times and for in environmental conditions. And again, I think it hasn't been, it's been a lot of talk about what could happen. I want to reassure you there are more people who are finding out they can't do it than people who can do it. It's not something that, it is a cottage industry. Finally, about a month ago, we put out on the internet an opportunity for people to sign up and say we support aquaculture in the Lynnhaven, and we have, and I brought copies, and I want to put them in the record. Here's, excuse me a second.
Just hand them to me. I'll pass them.
Over the past about a month, we've had 310 people sign up saying they support the oyster farming in the Lynnhaven specifically. And I wanted to share that because one of the things that happens is not only do homeowners say they don't know about it, but a lot of people don't know that the oyster farming is being threatened on the Lynnhaven. And finally, the last thing I want to say is that I think that it's difficult for people to understand that if some of these regulations are put into effect, there are oyster farmers who will not be able to continue, and there will be literally millions of oysters that are going to have to be either sold or relocated somewhere else.
Thank you, ma'am.
I got a question.
Mr. Zeke.
How is this regulation, proposed regulation, going to adversely affect your business?
My farm right now, at the present time, the one that I lease, that's in my name, and the one that I work, is not within, it's not in a residential area. It's actually, but I do have leases that are, and on those leases, we do two different things. One, we grow wild oysters. We put shell out so that we can encourage the growth of wild oysters, and so we're out there putting out shell on the bottom, and nobody's even talked about that. That's another whole way to grow oysters is to grow them naturally. The other part of it is we have some cages on those leases that we would have to go through this process, and if the homeowner objected to that permitting process and we came before the commission and they said no, we would have to either relocate those, sell those, move those. We couldn't work those. So we have farms that are residential, leases that are on residential areas and some one that is not.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, I'm going to move the goalposts again. Does anybody have something that they are burning to say and will regret for the rest of their life if they don't get a chance to say it?
Damn. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wrong question.
Please come forward. So I see like four. Raise your hands again. Two, three, four, five. Okay. Come on. Next.
Hi there. I'm Lori Sorabella. I'm with Lynn Haven River now, and I'm here today representing our executive director, Karen Forget. She was a part of the work group, and she's unable to be here today. But Lynn Haven River now is a nonprofit organization, and we work to protect the water quality in the Lynn Haven and to restore habitat in the Lynn Haven River. We're very proud that the Lynn Haven is notably cleaner today than it was when our organization formed in 2002. I just want to thank you all for taking comments today and to share three main points. One, oysters are a keystone species in the Lynn Haven River. That means they are incredibly valuable in the river. The oysters themselves and the reefs that they form provide habitat, provide filtration, provide food, provide nitrogen storage and denitrification and shoreline protection. And so oyster reef restoration is one of Lynn Haven River Now's main priorities. The second point that I want to highlight is that aquaculture is very valuable in the Lynn Haven River. The aquaculturalists bring oysters that would not otherwise be in the Lynn Haven River ecosystem. They filter the water, they store nitrogen, and they ultimately remove nitrogen from the water upon their harvest. Aquaculture allows people to eat oysters in a sustainable way, which doesn't impact our wild oyster population and also doesn't impact our sanctuary reefs. The oyster farmers in the Lynn Haven have been good neighbors. They are stewards of the ecosystem because they recognize that their livelihood depends on clean water. And the oyster harvesters are also the eyes and ears out on the river. They help to protect the sanctuary oyster reefs that are out there in the system. And they also are preventing poaching. Excuse me, I'm cold, so I'm kind of shivery. Then the last thing I wanted to mention is that Lynn Haven River Now has always been a believer in that we can find solutions with compromise and collaboration. All of the progress that we have seen in the Lynn Haven River is the result of collaboration between many partners from many different interests, and we believe that there is a balance that can be found in the Lynn Haven River between homeowners, recreational uses of the river, and a harvester community and sanctuary. So thank you for your comments. I know Karen Forget has submitted a letter to you in advance, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir, you have something burning to say, huh?
Yes.
Please come forward.
Thank you for your time. My name's Chris Shellhammer. There's been some talk today about how you already have the rights or the ability to self-regulate this situation. Just want to bring up another small part that the homeowner's ability to get a riparian right, which is what I did to create my own buffer, is something that exists. I know that it doesn't exist for everyone because of the shoreline thing, but that is also out there, and I just feel as though that needs to be mentioned as another way that property owners can mitigate this issue without additional regulation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Two more comments.
Hi, my name is Captain Brent James. I am a property owner on the Lynn Haven, but I rise today to speak in favor of not adding additional regulations. Lori just talked about the environmental purposes, so I won't go over that again, but that is huge. If you drive oystermen out of the business, and most of these oystermen are operating on the narrowest of margins, it's going to have a tremendous negative impact on the environment by over-regulating it. There was a discussion earlier about the crab pots. On my property, as a data point, Mr. Erskine, on a good summer day, I can see within probably that 210-foot buffer 10 to 15 crab pots that are actively being used. To say then that the crab pots are okay, but oyster cages are not okay, is fallacious, because the crab pots can be 2 feet tall. So they're twice as high as the oyster cages, a much greater safety concern. On the issue of safety, I have 8 children and 12 grandchildren, so I'll compare my numbers with anybody else here. You know, I made 7 cruises in there, 9 cruises in the Navy. I only have 8 children, so one cruise didn't work out. But with that number, in 25 years of waterfront property ownership on the eastern branch of the Lynn Haven, I can personally report as a data point zero injuries to my children other than throwing each other off the end of the dock or something like that. So the point was brought up that there are natural oysters on the bottom in many places. So safety of jumping off boats and hitting oyster cages, you're going to cut your feet to shreds. I just did it last week on an oyster shell. So it does happen, but it's not going to make any difference whether it's a caged oyster or a natural oyster. The 100,000 oysters that our oystermen are growing are filtering 5 million gallons of water a day, and that's something that we don't want to drive that out of business. They are contributing mightily to the success of the Lynn Haven estuary. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to last call. Somebody's got a really burning issue. Your hand was up. Sir? His hand was up first.
I'm not going to fight. Good afternoon. I'll make it quick. I am a small oyster company owner, about four partners, and if this regulation passes...
What's your name, sir?
My name is Ryan Ramstead. We're going to be out of business. We are up against a residential area. We've been working with that resident for the past couple of years. We've moved our cages several times to cooperate with them. We're about 100 yards from the shore. If we have to go 150 or 200, the water is probably going to be too deep for us to manage our cages, and we're going to be out of business. We've spent thousands of dollars individually on this, on our business, and that'll be the end for us. So just want y'all to know that.
Okay. You realize that's 210 feet, not 210 yards.
I'm sorry, let's see. I meant feet, not yards. I apologize.
Okay.
That was my question.
Thank you.
Tag team there. Something that nobody has said. Please come forward then, Mark, and then I'll give you a chance, sir. And then we're going to wrap it up.
Sorry to do this, Commissioner. My name is Mark Sanford. I'm a commercial fisherman. I've done this all my life, period, plain and simple. And the bottom line is I've got a small acreage lease in Broad Bay, okay? I grow most of my oysters now wild, but I'm under a rain condition closure once we reach 1 inch in the eastern and western branch. They shut me down for 10 days. I need this lease to be functional in Broad Bay. If you do the 210 buffer zone, I'm done. The lease is less than 1 acre. That's all I want to say. I'm a commercial fisherman, and I feel I have the right to do what I do, and I've always done this.
Just a question. Is your lease cages?
There's cages on it right now. Okay. But I also take wild oysters from the eastern branch, and I move them there because they close me down for 10 days at a time when we
have, gotcha.
And as you know, all summer long we've had rain.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions?
No, that was, I just want to understand exactly what your business was.
Okay, here's the last call. You get the final word, sir.
Thank you. My name is Mike Gurley. I'm a resident of Virginia Beach, lifelong, born and raised there. Used the water my whole life. And I hear a couple things here about notification and I think what my vision here, I support no change in the regulation. They're already being regulated. It can be controlled. I agree with that. Is that you're asking the watermen to carry the burden of an overcrowded waterway. There's other ways of regulating. You got boat. I'm out there two or three times a week on my boat. And it is not your purview to do this. It's not under your umbrella, but the boats can be regulated more. And now are they going to say, hey, the yoga people can't be in my backyard to yoga? Is that infringing on their rights too? And everything else. That waterway is active, but it's only 10 watermen out there versus 10,000 people on boats. They're not causing the overcrowdedness in the unsafe areas. Think about that. There's other areas that we can reduce the overcrowding in and support in the safety. That's all I have to say on that.
Okay. Question. Thank you, sir. All right. I'm closing the public hearing. Been 2.5 hours here. I think that we've fully covered the waterfront, so to speak, here on the issues at hand. Public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Who wants to go first, ladies and gentlemen? Mr. Ballard.
I feel pretty passionately about this issue and have thought about it over the last couple of months, and want to apologize for back in January when we brought this for the commission, and I voted in favor of establishing the Lynn Haven Group and studying this. I think through attending some of the meetings, hearing the comments, I've come to realize that this body isn't the appropriate body to be addressing these issues. They do need to be addressed, and it's unfortunate that we as an agency have put in countless hours and countless amounts of time. But at the end of the day, I feel that it's our solution here is not right. It's not the correct fix for this. I think we heard time and time again that notification was the single most important thing. The solution does absolutely nothing to address that. We're creating a buffer that is going to have negative impacts on a lot of people. We already have the tools to address navigation. If cages are blocking a waterway, we can literally go in and move those, have those cages removed from the lease. So I just feel that action for the sake of action is inappropriate. And that's just a comment. I can make a motion when the time's right.
Well, let's discuss the matter a little bit more here. Mr. Miner.
I think it's inappropriate as well. I'm just going to take just a few seconds to read some of these comments that I've been seeing, such as, I'm signing because this is a clean and sustainable aquaculture, which brings value to the local environment and fresh local food to the community. We believe that oyster and aquaculture is far more important to the Lynn Haven River than water sports. However, there's room for both to coexist. But this is one that really sticks with me. I'm signing because I believe in clean water and the Lynn Haven River. The Lynn Haven River belongs to everyone in the Commonwealth, not just those who reside on its banks. And that's what I'm sticking with today. We have to do what's right for the Commonwealth. If this was a condemned area, and it's cleaner now because of the oystering aquaculture, then that's what we need to go with. So I think this is inappropriate.
Mr. Erskine.
I agree with both those comments. I want to thank everybody for, you know, providing input today. Obviously, it's an important issue. Otherwise, the room wouldn't be this full. I do want to make a point to Mr. Ballard about his comment with it's unfortunate we did the work group and a lot of effort was put into this. And I do agree that this is not the right venue to take care of this. But if we hadn't gone through that process, we wouldn't know clearly, in my opinion, which way we need to go. And I'd recognize that there's at least six things that I wrote down during public comment that I heard there was consensus about. And, you know, one is ingress and egress of the right of the waterfront landowner. They have the right to wharf out. Clean water is important, and oysters are keystone species in accomplishing that. Improved notification. So that's a code change, but I think clearly we have the ability to move forward on a code change for notification and improve this process going forward. The shellfish industry cannot impede that navigation in the waterway. We can't exclude any one user from the waterway. And lastly, allowing waterfront landowners to apply for the riparian, as the gentleman said before, and possibly with less than 200 feet of linear waterfront. Some of these things are not for this commission to decide, but we have consensus moving forward. And there was a comment made earlier about working together and building bridges and all this kind of stuff. That sounds good when it's made as a public comment, but we could get behind something together as not only the industry making comments as well as the waterfront landowners, not just for the Lynn Haven and Virginia Beach, but the entire Commonwealth. And improving that notification process is the right step forward. So if we had not had the work group not gone through this in January, I don't think we'd be here, and we may be in a different unfavorable light in Richmond. So moving forward, I do think we have consensus, and that's a pretty good thing.
Mr. Zedrin.
I'm glad we went through this process, because what I've seen out here is we brought a lot of knowledge to not only the landowners but to watermen, to us, to everybody. So I think it's a valuable thing that we did. And I want to thank staff for doing an excellent job. And I, you know, I agree with the comments here, but he did a heck of a job drafting that thing, too. So I want to tell him he did a great job. And maybe you ought to go and get your law degree. But what I would like to see from this is not let us stop here. is to forward some kind of a report from this agency up to the legislature to say, hey, look, we have really studied this. All these people have really put their time and effort in here. You've got landowners, you've got merchants, you've got watermen, you've got everybody that's been represented here, and don't let this die here. Is that we should forward a report from this agency up to the legislature, and because that's where this thing came from to start off with, and I think that's probably where we're going, is that we did a good research tool for the legislature here, and I'd hate to see all these efforts just go to waste, and I think, and I agree with the fellow commissioners here, is that we should not act on this. We should stay with the status quo, but we should formalize a report and send it up to the legislature, and some of these people out here can contact Senator Bloxham and the other individual and say, hey, look, we've got all this research. Why don't we do something with it to protect everybody up on the state level? And so I would echo these comments as well.
Mr. Zedrin, I'll interject a personal note on that. I don't think there's any reason at all that we're going to need to alert the General Assembly to whatever decision is made here today. They will be quite familiar with whatever decision is made here today, and you know, regardless of what the decision is, I feel quite comfortable in stating that there will be legislation one way or another. Mrs. Kellum, you had a thought.
I did. I agree with all the discussion so far that we've heard from the Commission. Two things that I had written down at the beginning of the discussion was Mr. Hull mentioning impairment, and to me, I do feel like it is a huge impairment to the leaseholders. And the second issue was the legality of setting aside the Lynn Haven. I question the legality of us being able to do that, so I will be supporting status quo.
Anybody else want to put their cards on the table? Mr. Neal?
I don't need to argue with any of you, because I can argue with myself, and I have since I was appointed to this little position. In fact, my jaw's aching right now. Need to see a dentist. But I guess I have one disagreement with one thing Chad said. The staff recommendation would address notification, in that one of the main concerns of the residents was notification of cage placement, and it would definitely address that within that, whatever, the 210 feet. All right, so there would have to be notification of before, prior to cage placement within that buffer. But I will accept your apology for making my jaw hurt. I know things now that it was easier for me not to know when we were deciding on leasing. I know now that when we lease bottom, it's effectively forever, that there really is no mechanism for us to unlease land. If we lease it and it turns out it's an inappropriate use of the land, we can't undo it. And, you know, you can keep the lease for 9 years and 11 months and transfer to your uncle, and you get an extra 10 years automatic. And that goes through generations and generations and generations. So there needs to be some mechanism. If the land is not being used for what we want to be used for, we should be able to unlease it. It blows my mind that you can build a highway through my house easier than you can dredge a channel through a lease. Now, I own the house. The state owns the bottom, but we can't dredge through that. There's no mechanism, which Brian pointed out today, which, you know, he corrected himself from his last. And that's bizarre. That's just absolutely bizarre. And back to the use plan, I think it is unbelievable that we can't lease bottom for a particular use. Once we lease it, they can use it forever. There may be some bottom that's appropriate for some one technique and not another. We need those tools. And so I guess I disagree with Mike and some of the others and Brian that say we already have the tools that we need. We don't. We need some more tools. But we can't give them to ourselves. These are tools that are really from the General Assembly again. And so the same kind of things that we've been saying. And it's led me to lease paralysis. And I don't want to lease anything. And that's bad, because the purpose of lease is good. I mean, we want to grow shellfish. Cages are good. If they're more effective in growing oysters, which are good for the environment and good for our economy, then we want them. But I'm at a point now where I can't undo anything, and there's no mechanism for us to stop the impediment of public work projects. There's just nothing there. So we need some not major changes. We need little changes to make the leasing program the way it was intended, I think. And so I have no guidance for you. I've dealt with this for months and months. I know more than I want to know now because I was much happier back in January not knowing these things. And now I know these things, and I don't really know what to do about them. It's outside my realm. Brian, I relied on him when I first got on this commission. Everything we had a legal thing, I just would look to him because he is an expert on this stuff. Now they have me sitting between two attorneys. I guess they think I need more guidance. And so it's outside my realm. I think we're into the realm of the General Assembly. That's it. Those are my comments. I don't know where it leads you. But I do not think we have the proper tools. I think we need better tools. I don't think everything the way it is good. I think we need to do some tweaking. I just don't think that I have the power up here to do it.
Well, I appreciate what you said there, Mr. Neal. To some degree, I've been wrestling with this in a number of different ways. I support the shellfish industry. I support the aquaculture industry. The economic and ecological benefits are clear, and they need to be preserved and maintained and expanded whenever is proper and appropriate and useful. But at heart, my chief issue is something that's been touched on here, and I want to lay my cards on the table here. I'm a good government guy. I mean, this is part of my DNA. And I'm struck by the fact that we have a process where we manage our water bottoms in a very open and transparent way. You want to build a pier, and the neighbor objects, it comes before the commission for a public hearing, and everybody gets their say. You want a boat lift, you want a gazebo, you want to build a bridge, you want to expand the tunnel, you want to put a fiber optic cable, you want to build a pound net. You want to put floating oyster cages, you want to stack your cages. It all ends up here in front of this commission if the conflicts can't be resolved, except for cages for oyster aquaculture 12 inches or less, as long as they don't set on SAV or more than a minimal impact in navigation. So as a good government perspective, my problem is with the process. The process with caged aquaculture 12 inches or less does not give the public notification of cages being placed or a forum in which they can have their say. We're the forum to have that say. So my concerns about all this are on a good government basis, and they're not intrinsic to whether or not they're oyster cages or where they should be or how many there should be or whether they're oil derricks or they're floating hovercraft 12 feet above the water. My point is that we don't have a process that allows for appropriate citizen input and the decision-making that's informed case by case is what we do with other issues. So to that end, I think staff has done a pretty good job here of finding a compromise that doesn't tilt the balance in anybody's particular favor. The staff recommendation, the buffer zone of 210 feet is treated differently. And that makes sense in that 210 feet is the riparian area if there isn't already leased. So to that end, it makes sense to me to at least have a system where the leaseholder and the property owner at least talk about the issue. And if they can't resolve it, well, then they have to go to the permit system, a permit system, and there's two viable ones. And if they can't be resolved, they end up in front of the commission like every other use of the water bottom that's protested and unresolved ends up before the commission. So I'm in favor of a process that allows that. Anybody else? Mr. Bell.
I agree on the open government and that we're certainly in need of change. I think my issue is that this is furthering that process for conflicts with residential-only property. It's a tweak. we need a fix. And I think regulation for the sake of regulation would be irresponsible on our part. And I think we owe it to the citizens of the Commonwealth to get a better fix for this entire problem rather than just a tweak for residential property conflicts.
Any other discussion? Gentlemen, you've been awfully quiet down there.
No, I'll say one thing. I mean, one of the things you consistently heard property owners say, well, I didn't know anything was going to happen. I read a lease, a permit for lease on Nassauwaters Creek. I asked Mr. Manager who that was, but I couldn't tell you where it was. It's allotted latitude, longitude in the paper. I grew up on Nassauwaters Creek. I know as well as anybody around, but I couldn't tell you where it was. I think we have a real problem with notification. There is no doubt in my mind about it. But I don't think what we're doing here or this tweak to our current regulation is going to improve that. I think it is going to be a legislative fix. But at the same time, you know, I'm glad to hear that there are oysters in Lynn Haven. So I used to always think that Lynn Haven was an impaired waterway that was something that couldn't grow anything. So I'm glad to hear that there are shellfish there now. And I hope we can continue to grow shellfish in an amicable fashion. And I think that the testimony here today kind of proves that we can get along if we want to. So, anyway, I won't vote for this tweak to regulation, though.
Well, commission operates on motion. Let's hear a motion. Someone. Mr. Ballard.
I move to make no change to Chapter 4 VAC 20-335-10.
Second it.
All right. So that's a motion by Mr. Ballard, second by Mr. Minor, to maintain status quo.
Correct.
We all understand the motion. Any discussion on that? That hasn't been discussed. I'll pose the same burdens on the commission I imposed on you all as well. I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
The chair votes no. So the motion passes 7-2 to keep the status quo. I want to thank everybody here for a long process that has spanned the course of about 10 months. I thank you all for your civility and for your public input. Thank you.